The Just for Laughs Festival is an international comedy supermarket, circus, and schmooze marathon, and it's the biggest event of its kind. It mounts the work of over 100 English and French-speaking acts and attracts powerful talent brokers from the club scene, TV, and Hollywood. Right now, comedy is the biggest grossing segment of the entertainment industry. This kind of popularity should mean there's room for experiment, and there is some in the clubs on both U.S. coasts. Just for Laughs has it in its power to support innovation and diversity. This year, the organizers claimed that attention had been paid to downplaying Take My Wife jokes and including women and minorities. Their attention must have wandered. The performers are mostly straight white men. Out of 53 English-speaking acts, there are 4 black men and 7 women. There are no black women, no Asians, no Latinos, and no out gays. The black performers are tame, 2 don't even do stand-up, but rather variety acts, and as for the women, the bimbo factor is overpowering. Victoria Jackson of Saturday Night Live fame stands pigeon-toed in a short ballerina dress and squeaks out a charmless song about being dumb. 3 other women look like they're stealing her act. The festival has made me think about why diversity is so important. Without fresh blood and alternative angles of vision, comedy ratifies itself rather than stirring, disturbing, arguing. The goals inspiring the richest humor are the same steering all narrative, to say what is usually suppressed and also speak truthfully. The words that are usually suppressed are those that defy established values, undermine bases of power. To speak truthfully, a performer has to strip off defenses, in other words, forego his or her alliance with authority. Laughter isn't deliberated, but rather bursts forth almost always from a sense of wickedness. We want to see lunatics running the asylum, those who've been kicked doing the stomping. Most of the 43 white males who take the mic at Just for Laughs do the opposite. They reassure audiences that their bigotries are truths. The humor of sweaty, overweight Lenny Clark turns on the proposition that his wife is lucky to have him, and he's fortunate to get away from her. He raises his aggression on a flagpole, then slinks into the role of victim. Alan Thicke tells pathetically unfunny girl jokes to point up the primitiveness of his hometown. Jokes like, the best-looking girl was inflatable. Jokes like, a girl who was 5 months pregnant was considered a virgin. Rick Overton fires witty salvos at Ollie North, but then wishes on him the worst punishment that can befall a man. In Overton's view, sex with another male. He wants North in jail, sharing a cell with a swish black guy big as a linebacker. Fear of anal penetration hums through the festival like an anthem. These kinds of comics, wherever they appear, pretend to bash taboos by saying what most people think but are too inhibited to blurt out. But by attacking groups that are already buffeted in the culture, principally women and gays, these performers suck up to authority. Audiences get the pleasure of hating, but they're invited to cave into their fears, not feel startled by them.